The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You can also check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, wherever you get podcasts. I think the alien ship that they found zooming around our airspace that no one can just figure out what's going on. The Pentagon, no one. Even Barack Obama doesn't know. I think you can. They probably have the Max Kellerman Show, too, as a matter of fact. Anywhere any transmission of any information is occurring, the Max Kellerman Show is there somewhere. Doc Rivers may have a problem on his hands. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you very live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. L.A., LeBron going to carry the Lakers tonight? On the low, is this one of the most important games of his career? Going to get into that in a few. The answer is yes, by the way. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You should see the look on Raj's face on my Zoom screen, my producer. Oh, give him away the answer. You're supposed to tease him. Oh, you go.
Killing the tease. You go You're for, killing the tease.
Go for a cheap joke, and now everyone's going to. How's this for tease? I'm going to explain why this is one of the most important games of LeBron James's career. Now Raj is happy.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. First, it's time for Straight Talk, as I mentioned, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Embiid leaves the game against the Wizards. It looked like his back when he went down, didn't it? And you're like, uh-oh. Because remember, he came into the league with a leg issue, a knee issue. And everyone's like, well, that's why he went third overall. But what you kept hearing out of Philly, and for fans who don't know this, what media types kept hearing on the low out of Philly is, the training staff there may be more worried about his back than his knee. But he goes down. It's like, oh, it's his back. But it turns out it's right knee soreness. At least that's what they report. And Embiid did not return to the game. It was just early in the game. And then the Wizards never looked back. The Wizards did what they had to do, even though, Bradley Beal turned the ball over a bunch of times and everything. But they did what they had to do and won. And by the way, the Wizards can win again, especially without Embiid. But Doc's got to have this series closed out. He can't be the guy who consistently gives up 3-1 leads in series. And anytime you take the best player off any team in the NBA, take LeBron off the Lakers, take KD off the Nets, or Harden off the Nets. Get into that a little bit later. Take Tatum off the Celtics, take anyone off, any of the best players, take the Greek Freak off of Milwaukee. Of course they're not going to win a championship. Of course they're not going to win a championship. But up 3-1, you're the number one seed. You got to take care of a play-in team. You got to. And especially when you could build a team around Ben Simmons. Now, they won't win a championship because Ben Simmons' inability to shoot is like psychotic. It's not normal. You know, it's psychotic the way he won't even shoot. Outside the paint, he won't even put up a shot. And forget about shooting from long range or 15 feet. Can he come up with like a little floater, like anything 10 feet to 12 feet? They give it to him. He won't do it. And that's why they couldn't win a championship with Ben Simmons right now. But you can build a team whose offense is similar to Milwaukee. May not do great in the playoffs, but regular season? Well, we're in the playoffs now. I'll get to that in a second. You can play five out with Ben Simmons as point guard, have shooters all around him. He's going to drive, and he has such excellent – I mean, his handles are ridiculous. His handles are better than, like, a LeBron type or someone like that. That's why he's a point guard and not a point forward, right, in people's minds. And his court vision is as good as anyone's who's ever lived, and so is his passing, basically. Like Ben Simmons is a genius court vision, passing, handles guy for a 6'10" player. He's also all-world defense on every position. So he's a great player, but it's psychotic levels of not shooting, not even attempting a shot. But you can design an offense, especially with shooters. Look, you have Seth Curry. You have Danny Green. You have dudes who can really shoot on that team. Tobias Harris, you can surround him with shooters, and you should be able to win. The thing is, you can build a team around Simmons that way, but that's not the way this team is built, and that's not what they've practiced. So I'm anticipating the Wizards will win at least another game in this series, but the Sixers have got to close them out. And this is on Doc. You got to, for a guy who's known how to plays out of timeouts and is a motivator and everything, he can't be the guy who always gives up 3-1 leads. So even if you can't win a championship without your best player, and that goes for every team, you got to be able to close out a first round series as the number one seed against a play-in team when you're up 3-1 and you have another all-world player like Simmons. And you have Daryl Morey putting the team together. Doc Rivers is your Doc, you got to close this. You got to close this out. Here's Doc Rivers at the post-game presser defending Ben Simmons.
I didn't think he was scared of the moment. He just didn't make them. So, again, with Ben, we're going to keep him on the floor. Unless you guys want us to bench him the whole game. If anybody wants us to do that, just let me know. And then I'll know you don't know basketball.
Doc is right about that. I don't think anyone's saying don't play Ben Simmons. I think what people are saying is Ben Simmons got to carry the team now. Look, Ben Simmons is, if Ben Simmons could really shoot, he'd be one of the greatest players of all time already because he does everything else. But in the playoffs, sometimes you got to play him at the dunker spot. You got to. And that's a problem with Embiid on the floor. Now Embiid's not on the floor. There are going to be times where it's Maxey or Shake Milton or something. Like you're going to have to play another point guard with Ben Simmons sometimes at the four. Or do you do what I said? And it's Simmons with the ball, and you play. You know, guys all around, you know, shooters all around him. And one of two things is going to happen. He's going to attack the paint. He's going to attack the rim. And if you don't double him, he's going to yam it on you like every time. If you don't double him, he's got those kind of, you know, handles and hops. And if you do double him, he's going to find the open man every time. That's a problem. Now, there's the free throw shooting issue with Ben Simmons, too. He has the worst mark through four games this postseason. He's shooting 25% from the free throw line. That's the worst in NBA history. Now, the others, everyone else on the list is like Shaq and Wilt and all the big guys who had no feel at the free throw line. Those are all 7-footers. Like, don't forget, part of Simmons' greatness, he's 6'10". He's 6'10". He's almost the height of the bigs. And he can't shoot. And that's, listen, yes, they're going to put him on the line just like Washington did late in games and hope that he misses the shots under pressure. But I remember Mark Cuban telling me, I was the host of Around the Horn. I was one of the, I was the original host, and I helped design that show, as a matter of fact. And Mark Cuban was a guest panelist one day on Around the Horn. And I remember him telling me that the Pistons will never win a championship with Ben Wallace at center because Ben Wallace is such a bad free throw shooter, you just have to put him on the line in tight games. But you know what? The Pistons did win a championship with Ben Wallace. I'm not saying the Sixers can win a championship without Embiid. But Simmons should be able to hit enough free throws at the end of games, even if it's instead of 25%, hit 50%, hit 1 out of 2. And he does enough other things well that they should close out the Wizards. But Embiid better hurry back because they ain't getting too far without him. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jazz beat the Grizz. They're up 3-1. Can the Jazz challenge the Lakers? Brian in Dallas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead,
hey, I want to talk about, I know we're talking about Ben Simmons and free throw shooting, and obviously I'm a Luka fan living out here in Dallas, and they're both, you know, struggling with their free throws. So I'm not a musician. I'm not an athlete. I'm a musician. But my wife and my son are basketball players. And when my wife was teaching my son basketball, she kept saying, go for the backboard, go for the backboard. And every time he would go for the backboard, he'd make it. And, you know, as a musician, you know, I always go back to the basics if something's not working. And why don't guys go for the backboard when they're struggling with these
free
throws?
How about this one? How about shooting
the
grandfather shot between the legs, underhanded, right, with two hands? You put a little backspin on it, it goes in every time. I used to wonder, like, why wouldn't Shaq do that? Because what you're doing is not working. And the answer I always got is it just looks so ridiculous that ballers refuse to do it. Like Shaq refused. Yeah, I ain't going to go. I'm not looking like that. I'm like, but there are championships on the line. Like, I'll get championships my way. Yeah, I hear you. I think that that people are resistant to trying things because they feel like maybe it's desperate or they don't want to give in to like an inability to achieve something the way they feel like they're supposed to achieve it. And that can get in the way. By the way, I've felt that way in baseball with these extreme shifts. Someone just, you know, poke it the other way. But a lot of these hitters are like, no, no, no. I got to always do what I do best. I'm going to beat his fastball with my fastball. Yeah, but they're defensively aligned for that. Just hit it the other way. When, like, at this level, it's about constant adjustments, both sides. All right, let's hit the Goodyear hotline. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, is on the line. Tim, I wish I could remember what I disagreed with you so vehemently about the other day. It's already out of my mind. So instead, I'm going to go. You were making some point the other day. I was like, ah, I disagree. I can't wait to get Tim on the radio. I don't know, that was days ago.
Well, yeah, honestly, Max, it's a shame you can't remember because I'd love to hear what you were wrong about. I'd love to hear.
Well, me too. You think I like being wrong. It means I learned something. It's unfortunate that I'm so infrequently wrong. Hey, is Ben Simmons holding the Sixers back, Tim?
Man, that's kind of a broad statement. I think there's a lot of things about Ben Simmons that help you win and help you get in a position where you're the number one seed in the East and you're a team that's a legitimate title contender. Like, there's a lot there. But I think your bigger question is he ultimately, his deficiencies as an offensive player, is that ultimately going to keep the Philadelphia 76ers from pushing this thing across the finish line? And I think there's absolutely something to it. I mean, you just can't ignore the fact that you have a guy out there at a critical position in this league that is dominated by guys that can score. Typically, on a given night, the guys that start at that position in this league are 20 to 30 point per night players. You have a guy at that position that is out there for 35, 36 minutes a night that is your predominant ball handler that is a non-threat outside of 6 feet. Yes, that's a problem. It's a problem for spacing. It's a problem for who's on the court at the end of the game. It's a problem, as you saw last night, and I don't know why teams – I've been saying for years, I have no idea why teams haven't been doing this to Ben Simmons, for the last 2 or 3 years. It's a phenomenal strategy against this player, and Scott Brooks is one of the few guys that's exercised it. More teams should do it going forward. It really disrupts their rhythm and flow, and you saw last night, I think he went 4 for 8 during those 4 trips to the line, and it was a chance for them potentially to win it if he can, you know, convert a pair, or if they don't even have to foul him. You might get a 3-pointer in that possession because that's taking the ball out of other guys' hands. There are scorers by doing that. So, yeah, I do think there's something there, Max. I think ultimately we could be talking about this when the Sixers come up short.
Yeah, and I know why people – talking to Tim Legler here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN NBA analyst, of course, ESPN Radio. Tim, I think the objection to saying that Simmons will hold him back among some is that takes for – like, well, you're taking for granted all the things Simmons does other than shoot. That's right. We are. I'm taking for granted that Simmons, I think he's the number one defensive player in the world. That includes Draymond, that includes Gobert, that includes everybody. Because he can guard legit all these different positions. And he does it at an elite level, and he's 6'10". And he has amazing court vision, ridiculous handles for a guy who's 6'10". He's a laser beam pinpoint passer. The only thing he can't do is shoot. And yet, if he could shoot, Tim, maybe they would beat Brooklyn. You know, if he could shoot, maybe they do win the championship, but because he can't, they won't. I mean, it does come down to that for me. Looking at the Lakers tonight, we had Kendrick Perkins on First Take earlier today saying the Lakers are going to win Game 5 without LeBron, without AD. Now, on the one hand, Tim, they did beat the Phoenix Suns late in the season without LeBron. And you think, well, if they could do it without LeBron, maybe they could do it without AD. And I think they did it without Schroeder, too, back then. And now they have everyone except AD. You know, and I do think this is going 7 because there's so much on the line for Chris Paul and LeBron James here. Maybe the Lakers could steal a game at Phoenix without AD, but I wouldn't make them the favorites. How do you see Game 5 at Phoenix?
Well, put it this way. I think they're going to split these next 2 games, and they're going to end up in a Game 7 in Phoenix. And if Anthony Davis is unavailable to play in that game, the Phoenix Suns are going to win this series. That's the way I look at it. If Anthony Davis is available, for Game 7, let's say, even though that game would be on the road, I think the Lakers have a very good chance of winning that game, assuming he's not out there limited physically in any way.
Right, let me ask you this, Tim. Wait, let me stop you right there. Let's say he doesn't play Game 5. And whatever, I mean, different scenarios if they win or lose. But Game 6, you're thinking we could, let's say the Lakers win Game 5. And they're playing with house money. And AD could go Game 6, but he's not. Would you hold him out so he could be 100% in Game 7? or closer to 100%? Yeah. Or would you play him in a game six?
If they're up 3-2 and they're going back home with the potential to close it out, and AD is thinking about coming back for that game and he's 75%, I'm not playing him. I'm not playing him. I think you need him. If you know that another 48 hours or whatever that is going to be between game six and seven, typically 48, sometimes they get these extra day, but I haven't looked at the schedule. But if it's 2 days off, that gives them that additional time to be closer to 100% in a game seven, I think you hold them out in that situation. And I am not a guy typically that would go in that route. I think if you're able to play, you play, if you contribute anyway. But in that situation, you're talking about something that he could absolutely exacerbate. And you play in game six, he re-aggravates that. He is out for game seven. You're not winning that game. I don't believe you're winning the game on the road without Anthony Davis. I don't think you're doing it. Phoenix is too good.
You ain't going to win two out of the next three.
Honestly, than the Suns.
Yeah, you ain't winning two out of the next three of that,
AD. Really, really good.
Yeah. Tim, okay, now I want to run a Nets theory by you. I do this to all the basketball analysts. Tim Legler here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. And I want to see what you have to say about this. I look at the Nets, and I think James Harden is the most important player on that team. And the reason is this. For all the criticism Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey had in Houston, James Harden leading the offense, you can't win a championship that way, too many guys standing around watching, it's not a flowing game, not enough passing. Meantime, they had a far inferior team that went up against the KD, Steph, Clay, Dre Warriors, and they played a Game 7 at home against those Golden State Warriors, who were the most talented team ever, I think is the consensus. And Chris Paul didn't play in that game. And they missed 27 straight threes at one point. They still only lost by single digits. In other words, even LeBron raised up the white flag before he ever played that Warriors team. But Harden in D'Antoni's system almost beat him. I think should have beaten him. Okay, now I look at the Nets, Tim. And a lot of people compare this big three and they say, wow, it's the kind of talent that the Warriors had in this last dynasty. But I see it more like, because D'Antoni's on the bench, Harden's running the show, I see it more like this is as though D'Antoni and Daryl Morey had the Warriors team but ran the most efficient style of offense ever, but with the Warriors-level talent. How do you beat that, Tim?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, let's be honest about it. Look, it's too much. It's too much for any team to try to defend because nobody has enough the combination of enough personnel that can at least do a legitimate job in those 4 or 5 seconds at the start of that possession to at least contain and do a decent job to make those guys take tough shots. You have to have a lot of guys that can do that, and very few teams have it. Philadelphia, actually, one of the few teams that does.
With Thibault,
they've got enough perimeter defenders to make those guys at least challenge initially. The problem is you've got to combine it also with scheme. There are so many different things you've got to protect against because all three of those guys can beat you with an isolation three, an isolation mid-range, isolation get to the rim, isolation go to the line, isolation find other people. So, you know, the other night they went for over 100 points between the three of them. So there's just no team that's got enough personnel and scheme to be able to take all that away. It's a matter of time before they get cooking and they drop a 35-40 point quarter on you.
Yeah, and meantime,
if those three guys are healthy, you can't beat them.
Meantime, Joe Harris is going to, if you double anyone, Joe Harris is all by himself. Good luck with that one, especially all three guys can also pass the ball. Tim Legler on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. And Tim, here's another thing I think. The loss to the Celtics is a blessing in disguise for the Nets. Even another loss would be, because when they first got Harden, I wasn't sure how it was all going to work out. You know, there's only one ball. What are they going to do? Share the ball, Kyrie and Harden and all this stuff. And the offense was amazing right away, but the defense was also equally as good as the offense was. That's how bad the defense was. Tim, it only took them 2 or 3 weeks to get the defense adequate. 2 or 3 weeks. So now I'm looking at their connectivity on defense, and it's not very good right now. And KD has looked much better on defense in the past. But the longer they have early in the playoffs to get that together, the more impossible they're going to be. I actually think the Bucks finishing their series and waiting around while the Nets maybe get an extra game or two to get connected defensively is actually bad for the Bucks because it's good for the Nets. To that, you say what?
No, you're 100% right. It's because I can tell you right now, having done it for 10 years, the most important part of defense in the NBA is communication. and reps of seeing different types of coverages, and particularly pick and roll coverage. That's what the NBA is all about. That requires a lot of communication. So for those guys now to get extra games, or at least one game, under their belt where they're out there communicating more, it absolutely helps them, because that is the one thing you would look at and say, okay, they can be porous if they're not communicating well. You can definitely score on this team. Problem is, if they tighten that up even a little bit, 10% better. If that's all they are, guess what? How are you supposed to score enough points to beat them? You can't. You got to get to 125, 130 to beat that team. And so if they just get a little bit better, which I think they will as the playoffs go on, each round they are going to get better defensively the longer they're on the court together. So the question becomes, what number do we have to get to tonight? And few teams have the offensive consistency to be able to do that and beat them four times in a seven-game series. The hardest thing for them, Max, honestly, was to figure out in the beginning. We saw it. You pointed it out just now, and I was waiting to see it just like everybody else. Whose team is it? You know whose team it is? It's James Harden's team. They gave him the ball. Yep. They gave him the ball from day one. He dictates possession. He dictates where the ball goes. He dictates when he feels like scoring. Do I want to play like James Harden in Houston? I'm going to do that for the next few possessions. Do I want to now be the facilitator for the next 4 minutes? I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
It's his.
He's playing at a sick level.
Entirely.
He's playing at an incredible level. Like this year, it's the best I've ever seen him play. I think by the end of this season, he will be the finals MVP. And I think actually, given his circumstances, he will start to – is he the best player in the game? I think people will start to ask that question, because his mastery over this offense is like at wizard level at this point. It's ridiculous. The great Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen. Tim, thank you for coming on.
Matt's always good, man.
Yeah, thank you. I got to remember what I disagreed with you about so we can argue about this at a later date. I can't figure out who it is. The great Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen. That is a huge game five tonight in Phoenix. LeBron going to have to do it on his own? Can he get some help? Hey, Schroeder, someone, Drummond, Kuzma, I don't know. Kuzma, can you finish it? Can someone help LeBron? The football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The playoffs are back.
If we have these kind of questions about that team, from leadership and playing with passion, you don't want to hear that kind of talk from your head coach. I want more from the Boston Celtics.
Opinions, analysis, and the latest news. Tomorrow morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. At 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So, there's stuff to get into right now. So much basketball. It's a great time of year. Every night there are multiple games and stuff going on and storylines. And I feel like there's so many key injuries to key players this year that the field seems wider open than it normally does. Maybe not in the East so much because of Brooklyn, but even then people are feeling good about Milwaukee. But in the Western Conference, oof. At any rate, AD, questionable for Game 5. An MRI on Monday confirmed a strained groin for the 8-time All-Star, head coach Frank Vogel said. There's not great optimism within the Lakers organization that AD will be able to play on Tuesday, according to Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, as the groin injury he sustained late in the first half of Game 4 typically requires a week to recover from. Problem is, he doesn't have a week, but you can give him the better part of a week. If he doesn't play Game 5, you can give him more than 50% of a week. The question is, if the Lakers lose Game 5 and he can go at all in Game 6, you're going to have to play him Game 6. But if the Lakers can steal Game 5 on the road, you can rest AD in Game 6 and have him as good as he's going to be for a Game 7. And I believe the Lakers win that game if AD is, you know, most of himself. Now, AD already pushed through a sprained left knee to start on Sunday. And, you know, all those things are related. The knee bone's connected to the groin bone. You know, I don't know if I can say that on the radio, but you know what I mean. Like, you have a problem with a lower extremity, you know, that stuff can, you favor it, you put pressure on another part of it, wind up with an injury on another part of it. And he said, he told reporters before the game, before game four, no way he's going to miss it and everything, but with the groin injury, he was out at the half, didn't come back, and he's not going to play in game five, most likely. Even, it, but you know, the funny thing was, he'd only had like 6 points. It was 2 of 9 shooting in 19 minutes, and they made a point of this on the broadcast. That, you know, he hasn't had a great game and he had been dominating the Suns. But the Lakers, to me, felt in control of that game. It was nip and tuck and it was competitive and it was close. But the Lakers, I believe they had the lead when he left the game. But at any rate, I felt confident as a Lakers fan, the Lakers are going to win this game. And when AD left the game, the Suns grabbed the lead and just started adding to it. They never looked back. It changed the course of the game without AD on the floor, which just goes to show you, even if he's physically compromised, having him on the court makes a huge difference, offensively and defensively. Well, who's going to step up for AD in his absence? Andre Drummond? Marc Gasol? Kyle Kuzma? Or maybe you're going to have to play a little bit of a different style, right? Can Schroeder step up and be like an above-average starting player? LeBron James is going to need someone. Like, even in Cleveland, when Kyrie and Kevin Love went down and he lost to the Warriors, who were loaded in 6 games in that finals in 2015, Matthew Dellavedova stepped up. Who's going to be Dellavedova, at least, on this Lakers team? Here is Lakers coach Frank Vogel on the AD injury.
Yeah, he has a strained groin, and he's undergoing further medical evaluation. And we'll have more information tomorrow. Yeah, well, he's one of the best players in the world, so you know you have to adjust. And you know, I thought we gave great effort in trying to overcome that loss, but you know, certainly wasn't enough.
Adrian Wojnarowski on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning here on ESPN Radio. Woj, what's up with AD's status?
His status, and the word that was used with me, was unclear for Tuesday night's game. In Phoenix, I was told he's going to be day-to-day with that groin strain. This is a real concern to the Lakers. I think even a greater burden is on LeBron James. You know, even if Anthony Davis plays, you know, groin injuries are tough. And so you have to wonder, even if he does play, his mobility, how effective he can be.
Gabe in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Oh, hi, Max. Thanks for having me on the show, but yeah, I was actually at the Washington Wizards game yesterday, and when that fan ran out on the court, yep. He was obviously drunk or something.
All right, hold on. But let's slow up for 1 second. First of all, Raj, we can hear you now that you've logged back on. You're audible to everyone. Please try to remember to mute yourself. Thank you. Now, Gabe is referring to a fan who ran out on the court during the Wizards game, Wizards and Sixers last night, and this is in the face of a lot of fans misbehaving and being banned indefinitely from arenas. Someone threw popcorn on Russell Westbrook. He's banned indefinitely. Someone spat on Trae Young. He's lucky Trae Young didn't press charges, because he could have pressed criminal charges and he didn't. But that fan's banned indefinitely. And then the fan who threw a water bottle at Kyrie in Boston's banned indefinitely, right? So you would think fan, now this wasn't attacking a player, but it was looking for attention. A fan, and this has been going on forever, fans running out on the court. This is one of the reasons why, you know, some people think, hey, let's shame these fans who do this to players. I'm not big into shame anyway, but it's also giving them attention. If they're clout chasing, that's what they want. Gabe, I'm sorry. I just wanted to catch people up on what you're referring to. Go ahead.
I agree with you, Max. I feel like they definitely should be punished more because than other fans. You know, even if they're just banned, I feel like that's a small price in a way than what they should be getting. I feel like, you know, press charges should be pressed against them in some kind of way or form. But thanks for taking my call, Max.
Okay, thanks, Gabe. I listen, you don't want copycat behavior. It does interrupt the game. When I was a kid, they used to always show the fan who would, like, be running around like an idiot because it was like a little diversion and people kind of got a kick out of it. And then as time went on, they realized, you know what? Some of these people are unstable and you know they're doing this, and let's not give him attention because it spawns copycats. And local networks and national networks stopped airing, stopped showing, pointing the camera at the fans and putting it on TV when the fans would do that. And I think that works. I don't have any numbers on it, but it seems to me when the fans not getting attention, it's not as appealing to them to run out on the court. But I also think we should make a distinction between someone who just wants to say they ran out on an NBA court during a game and someone who's spitting or throwing popcorn or a water bottle at a player. Speaking of which, some former Celtics had stuff to say about Kyrie Irving's disrespect. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I mean, Kyrie could do what he wants. You can't throw a water bottle at him. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
On things, and there's some got to be a force. I don't think just banning fans is good enough.
It's been that way in history for a long period of time, of just underlying racism and just treating people like they're in a human zoo. You know, there's a certain point where it just gets to be too much.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Hear what some former Celtics had to say to Kyrie. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Yep, former Celtic Kevin Garnett, Celtic champion. Remember, the guy who threw the water bottle was wearing a Garnett jersey. I said at the time, he might be thinking, like, you know, people were quick to point to the kind of racial component of everything. He's a white guy, and it seems to be a lot of white dudes spitting on, throwing stuff at black players, right? And insofar as race has a role in it, like, even if it's not consciously on the guy's mind, you know, if they think they're kind of being post-racial or they don't see race, it's just a player disrespecting the logo, whatever it is, and they throw a bottle, the fact is they should be sensitive to the fact that, you know, there are socioeconomic differences that go along racial lines in this country because of the history of our country. It's not like black people just aren't as good at making money intrinsically. It's been systemic racism in our country, you know, for hundreds of years that has created a socioeconomic difference along racial lines. And so especially people who afford real good NBA tickets for the playoffs. You know, if you're a white guy, you're mad at a player. I get it. It's maybe race isn't on your mind. Maybe it should be a little bit more. I mean, first of all, it shouldn't have to even come to that to know not to throw stuff at people. Like, you should know that already, independent of everything else. But at any rate, I pointed out that he's wearing a Garnett jersey, and probably, I imagine this fan could be thinking, it was conjecture, but like, you know, Garnett was true Celtic. He understood Celtic pride, won a championship, whereas Kyrie, you know, we weren't as good with him as without him, and then he said he was going to stay, and then he took off and left, then he comes back and disrespects the logo. Lucky. Throw this water bottle at him. Nah, man. All that might be true. You still don't throw a water bottle at somebody. But Garnett went on social media and said, so nobody's going to say anything about Kyrie stomping Lucky. We're just going to act like we didn't see that. You can't do that. That's not cool on no level. Celtics take a you know, catching feelings behind that. They take it a certain kind of way. Big Baby Glenn Davis tweeted, real expletive. He did this on, no, see, he didn't tweet it. He did it on Instagram. I'm so old, I say, he tweeted it on Instagram. No? What do you say, he Instagrammed it? Like I said, Big Baby wrote, you step on Lucky, you step on everybody that played for that team. Keep the blank basketball before somebody get hurt in real life. See, I have no problem with Garnett's comment, even though the timing of it, Stephen A. pointed this out on First Take, I thought it was a good point. The timing of it isn't great. Hey, KG, maybe let this die down a little before you want to point out other stuff, because the bottom line is if you felt sympathy or if you felt like Kyrie was the villain, you take that away when you throw something at him. Now he's the sympathetic figure, and you're the villain, obviously. But Big Baby was kind of went up to the line, like almost like you can infer from what Big Baby said that, hey, if you do something like step on a logo, then it becomes real. then someone might throw something at you. No, that's not all right. Brandon in Delaware, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max?
Yeah, Brandon. How you doing? Oh,
how
see.
You doing?
No, see, hold on. It's not even your fault, Brandon. Did anyone prep Brandon? Brendan, did you prep Brandon?
No,
all right. So let me just tell. So everyone could hear this. When you say hello, you give me your opinion. You love me, you hate me, you just want to get to your opinion. You have a question, that's fine. But it's not a social call. No, hey, what's up? So now, go, Brandon, go.
Derrick Rose, man.
There you go.
Yeah. He ain't getting the respect he deserves, man.
Mm-hmm.
Randall and them is missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett, he overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, let me put it this way about D. Rose.
Derrick Rose, the respect he deserves.
I think he does get respect. The fact is, he was a dude who was so amazing as a high school player that NBA superstars would travel to go see him. They get in a car and drive to go see this kid play, and he won an MVP at 22. Like, he's an otherworldly, all-time great talent who's now past his prime, dealt with injury, and is a sixth man now. He's still the best player on the Knicks. He's still the most talented player on the Knicks, right? And that's not even to slight Julius Randle or Barrett or Quickley or anyone. It's just that they could play to 100. They'll never be as good as Derrick Rose was. So the remains of Derrick Rose is still different than those guys, I think. I hear what you're saying, but I do think he's getting that respect right now. I think people are careful to point out, they take their time to point out how great Derrick Rose has played off the bench. Nas in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, how you doing, buddy? I appreciate being on.
Again, how you doing?
My topic is about Westbrook and the way he acted, how, you know, it's not a, you know, everyone's saying it's about the fans. Obviously, it's terrible what the fans are doing. Mm-hmm. But what about the way Westbrook acts? Like, why isn't the league fining him for not acting, you know, like a professional, chasing people, like running into the stands? Like, he's branded by the NBA. He's a role model for people.
I hear you, but I think it's a human reaction when someone throws something at you to want to go after them. I think that's a human reaction. Now, you're right in the sense that that's okay, but there is security there and all that. But I think when Westbrook does that, it forces the hand of security, the arena, the league, and he has been instrumental in bringing attention to the way fans behave and saying, no, that's not okay, and if no one's going to do anything about that, I'm going to go after him. At the very least, that brings attention to it. And maybe absent Russell Westbrook's antics, that attention is not brought to it, and the league isn't reacting the same way. Ramona Shelburne, give us the latest on AD coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.